Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of Vegan Proteins Muscles by Brussels Radio. My name is Giacomo.
And I'm Danny.
And this is our eighth episode. And today we're going to be talking about gym etiquette.
So this is a special week for Giacomo and I. This is the sixth year anniversary of veganproteins.com being open.
Is it the sixth year? I mean, it's 2014, isn't it, Danny? Or at least that's what you thought.
I thought it was our fifth year anniversary because I actually forgot what year it is currently. So that's a little bit embarrassing. But this is our sixth year anniversary Vegan Proteins being open.
Woo!
We started it in Portland, Oregon, and it started with just a couple boxes of Sun Warrior protein that we were selling as a fundraiser to make a documentary about vegan bodybuilding that never happened. And then people liked it so much, we kept adding products and blah, blah, blah.
We actually started in a spare room in our apartment, in the closet in that spare room.
Yep.
Out of boxes, no shelves even. Yeah. Just like a couple boxes on the floor.
That we shipped out to like the two people that wanted it that month.
Yeah, we didn't even have a website at first. We just started on a forum.
Yeah, and now we're approaching our 10,000th order. That's going to happen, I think, by the end of this month. It's pretty crazy. Just crazy. But, you know, it makes us really happy. And just thank you guys so much for the support over the years. It really means a lot to us.
Yeah, seriously.
This was also a really cool week because it was the Arnold.
Yeah, that was, it felt like Super Bowl Sunday at our house all day long because, well, the powerlifting, the bodybuilding, and other sports, I would imagine, were available live streaming. So we streamed that on our TV.
Yeah.
Got to watch while we worked.
We had the bodybuilding and the powerlifting going at the same time, and we were just going back and forth between the two of them. It is very, very cool because our good friend, Tori Washington, competed on the amateur bodybuilding stage this year, and it's invite only. It's the biggest bodybuilding show in the world, and it's just amazing that a vegan stood on that stage this year, and he really held his own. He didn't look out of place up there at all, which is amazing because he's been vegetarian his entire life, vegan for nearly the last 20 years, and he's completely natural. He's completely drug-free.
Exactly.
The organization that he was competing in is not a drug-free or drug-tested organization, so it's not really a level playing field for natural athletes. And, you know, he did hold his own up there.
Yeah. I mean, you know, there's a chance that there may have been other natural athletes up there, but since it's untested, there's really no way to know. And when you're dealing with the best of the best and, you know, drugs are allowed to pass through, chances are most people are probably using something.
But it was just really, really impressive. He looked fantastic. His stage presence is like something I've never seen before. He's just fantastic, and it was surreal.
I mean, I think this is the first, to my knowledge, this is the first time a vegan has stepped on stage at the Arnold Expo or Olympia or any one of these. I'm not sure either.
We also had another vegan competing in powerlifting. Her name is Christine Brass, and she is, like, beastly strong. Like, insanely strong. And she got, like, a 360 squat, I believe. And the point is, she's little. She's a little bit of a thing. She's, like, 5 foot nothing, and she's just mind-blowingly strong. And she placed in the top five in her division, so go Christine. That wasn't streamed live, so I was pretty bummed out that we missed that.
Yeah, I mean, pound for pound, she is really, really strong. Not only can she move a lot of weight, but for her size and the ratio of body weight to how much she could actually move is pretty impressive.
She literally deloads with more than my max. It's insane. And I've probably got 15 pounds on her. So it's just something to aspire to. I'll keep working towards it. But yeah, congratulations to both of them because that was really, really awesome. And it absolutely made our weekend. That we were just glued to that all weekend. So. All right, so today we're going to be talking about gym etiquette. This is going to be not such a science-y specific podcast, but more of a lighthearted things you should know when you go to the gym that maybe you don't know. Some of them are common sense, or you would think they're common sense, and you would think you wouldn't have to say them, and then some of them maybe people don't know. So we're just going to go over some of those things.
The first thing is no curling in the squat rack. It's called a squat rack for a reason. It's there to do squats on. Right, Danny?
Yeah.
Now, the reason why you wouldn't want to do bicep curls in a squat rack is because there are plenty of other places to do bicep curls. And you also don't need to be using an Olympic barbell in a squat rack to do bicep curls.
Yeah, I mean, there are preloaded barbells that go up to like 120 pounds. You can load up like 100 kilograms, so like 220 pounds on it, most easy bars. So there's really no need to be doing bicep curls in the squat rack. And the squat rack is like a hot commodity in the gym. There's usually not very many of them, and there's usually people waiting for them. So if you're in there doing curls, it's just really, really annoying. And this doesn't just go for curls. This goes for anything that you don't necessarily need a squat rack for. There are other places that you can do bent over barbell rows and things like that. If it's dead and you want to do, you know, bent over barbell heavy rows in the squat rack and there's not very many people in the gym, that's one thing. But if there's people waiting, like, go find somewhere else to do your exercise. So really, really simple. Just no curling in the squat rack. And not just no curling in the squat rack. Don't do exercises where they're not meant to be done. You know, don't go over to the weight room floor where all the dumbbells are and lie on the floor and start doing your abs. You're going to get a dumbbell dropped on you and get really, really hurt. Just be aware of where you're standing and what that space is used for.
Exactly.
Number two, re-rack your shit. That's what I say. Re-rack your weights. Put your weights back. Unload your plates from your squats, from your leg press. Oh, God, the leg press. It's not uncommon to see somebody load the leg press up with, you know, 500, 600, 700 pounds worth of plates. That's up to, you know, 8 plates on each side, and then just do their set and then just walk away and leave all that work to be done for the next person.
Well, I don't get it, because this is one of those common sense ones, I think.
You would think so.
You know, and if you can put all that weight and load it onto the machine and you can exercise with it, well, then you should be able to take it off the machine, right?
Right, and maybe people are trying to prove, like, how strong they are, but there are other people who use the weights that maybe aren't strong enough to get those off of the machine, and I've seen it happen. I saw not elderly, but upper middle age woman standing around a leg press machine, just like looking around for minutes, and she disappeared, and then she came back and she was still looking around, and it occurred to me she wanted to use the leg press machine, but there was no way she could get all this weight off. And I helped her take it off, but it's just crazy that people think it's okay to just use a weight, just leave it where they were using it. Or throw it back on the weight tree completely out of order.
Right. Like putting a 45-pound plate where a 2.5-pound plate goes.
Well, you can't do that. You can't possibly do that just because of the way the tree's built.
I'm sure people try.
But, you know, when you don't organize the plates when you put them back, you're basically just creating a lot of work for somebody else who's going to have to do that.
And going back to leaving weights at a station or like dumbbells somewhere, aside from someone maybe not being able to put it back, you know, someone is going to think that station is in use and they're not going to use it.
Yeah,
you know?
That's true. That actually happened to me today. There was a dumbbell on a chair and I thought that somebody was using it. And then I, you know, used a different spot. And when I came back a half an hour later, that dumbbell was still there. Yeah. And I just realized, oh, someone's just a jerk and just left it there is what that means.
Exactly.
So re-rack your stuff. It's a safety issue. It's a politeness issue. Just do it. All right, so this one really bothers Giacomo, and it's kind of funny for me to watch him at the gym when it happens, but there's a no lifting zone in the gym. There's a spot where you just shouldn't be lifting, and where is that?
That is by the dumbbell rack. You should not be lifting on top of the dumbbell rack.
And why?
For a multitude of reasons. One, if you're lifting on top of the dumbbell rack because you want to be as close to the mirror as possible, or you don't want to walk away with the dumbbells that you're working out with, so you're going to stay right there and do dumbbell shrugs or bent over rows on the dumbbell rack, you are getting in the way of other people that need to take their weights off the rack. to put them back on the rack, you're just completely in the
way. In everybody's way. You're in everybody's way, basically.
You're messing up the flow of the gym. Don't do it.
If you can't pick up your weight and walk away with it and do your set and bring it back, it's too heavy for you, bro. Correct. Pick a lighter weight.
And there are plenty of other things that you can lean against to do, you know, to brace yourself for a dumbbell row.
Yeah, they make these things for that. They're called benches. They're everywhere.
Yeah, and they're about a foot away from where you're doing it. Mm-hmm. All right, and then there's equipment hogging. And equipment hogging is basically when somebody is taking up anywhere from 2 to 3. I don't know if I've ever seen anyone take up more than 3 stations at a time. My point is taking up multiple stations at a time.
I totally saw somebody taking up 5 stations last week.
Oh my God. And they were, I think I know what
squat
you're talking
rack.
Yes.
Leg press, hamstring curl, a spot on the floor to do like burpees or something, and the Smith machine. And there were people waiting.
And so they're like literally taking over the entire legs, all
basically
the leg stations.
Yeah, it was pretty crazy. But this isn't just machines. This is people who pile up, you know, several sets of dumbbells in front of them and take them away to another corner, and they, you know, you walk by benches sometimes and there's like 8 dumbbells underneath it, and you're like, what could you possibly need 8 dumbbells for right now? This is particularly bad during peak hours when it's really, really busy and everybody's just trying to get their workout in, and there's, you know, everybody's fighting for space a little bit. So when it's one thing to superset between 2 machines, it's another thing to have several machines going at the same time.
Yeah.
And it's just rude.
Pretty much.
So along with that, if you are, you know, using equipment at the time and somebody else wants to use it, they can come up to you and they'll ask you if they can work in with you. And the polite answer is yes. The polite answer is yes, you can. Usually it's not that difficult. They just pop in, do their set, come off, you do your set. It's fine.
And sometimes it's even customary when you see somebody kind of eyeballing your station, they're close to it, to, you know, they don't want to bother you because you're in the middle of your exercise. Ask them, hey, you know, are you trying to
do you
want to
work
this?
In?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And I try to encourage people because normally people don't want to bother. No, it's okay. Don't worry. But I said, no, please work in. It's totally fine.
A couple times where you don't really want to work in with somebody is if they're doing a big exercise, like a squat, a bench, a deadlift, and you guys are at completely different strength levels. Like even Giacomo and myself, oftentimes we don't do squats in the same squat rack because it's too much work to change the weight up in between each and every one of us. So that's the only time I would say you don't really want to work in. If it's a machine or like you want to use a bench or something, that's really, really easy. But if you're going to have to be changing plates, multiple plates in between each of you, that's kind of a pain.
Yeah.
But other than that, working in, it's a good thing to do.
And the mirror zone and personal space.
So mirrors are in the gym mostly to check your form and to keep you focused on what you're doing. A lot of times you set up in front of a mirror and do your set. It's not a vain thing. It's to watch yourself to make sure you're doing it right. I have some friends who would say, just work on your proprioception and do it with your eyes closed. But
Scott.
But most of us that work out in a bigger gym do use a mirror. And it's not really polite to stand directly in front of somebody who's using the mirror and start doing your set. Occasionally, the gym is just so busy that there's nowhere to go and you just end up standing kind of in somebody's way. But generally speaking, don't stand in front of people when they're using the mirror. One, you've broken their concentration if they're in the middle of a set.
Mm-hmm.
But also, it's just a safety issue. And along with that, just don't get too close to anybody that you don't have to get close to in the gym. Like, sometimes it's just crowded and you do what you got to do. But respect people's personal bubbles and try not to get in them. One, it makes people uncomfortable. But also, it's a safety thing. I almost whacked somebody in the face doing dumbbell side lateral raises the other day. Mid-set. I was mid-set and somebody just happened to not be paying attention and just walk right, like, into my raised hand, basically. Luckily, I didn't hit him. But, you know, making sure that you're giving people their space. It's for their safety. It's for your safety. And along with personal space, you can even translate this over to the cardio section. It's just kind of, think of the cardio section like when you go into a movie theater and there's like one couple of people sitting in the movie theater. Like, you don't go sit right next to that couple. Like, that's weird, right? Anyway, it's sort of the same thing with the treadmills. If there's 20 treadmills and one person running on the treadmills,
you go next to that person.
Don't go stand on the treadmill right next to them. That's weird and rude. And you've just put like the word creep across your forehead, basically. So don't do that.
You know another spot that I think it pertains to in the gym is the dual cable cross machines, where, you know, you have someone working in on one of the cable stations.
Right. And then someone starts doing pull-ups behind you.
You're not even asking. I mean, there's nothing wrong with it. That's what it's there for. But, right. I mean, at least let the other person in between sets say, hey, do you mind if I do pull-ups? And if they feel comfortable, they'll do it the same time as you're doing your pull-ups. But don't just jump in and start
The person on the cable is going to finish their set, turn around, and walk right into your junk, basically.
Yeah, seriously. Like,
that person's junk is at eye level at that point. You know, or worse, you could get kicked. Yeah, so personal space. Respect people's personal space.
Another thing that you see tend to happen are people dropping their weights, you know, pounding them on the gym floor for whatever reason. Usually they can control it, but they choose to just drop the weights down like that. Or grunting really loudly, which also they probably don't have to do.
Grunting, yelling.
Thrashing, basically. Thrashing. Just throwing themselves, flailing about.
We have a guy at our gym, and he's probably a really, really nice guy.
He is nice.
But we call him Erratic Energy Man. He constantly has like metal music playing through his headphones so loud that you can hear it like from 5 to 10 feet away. And he's just like headbanging and thrashing around like constantly in between his sets, during his sets, grunting, like singing along sometimes. And I'm really glad that he's having fun, but it can be really distracting.
He'll run up like right like within a foot of you and just start pacing and...
Well, that goes back to the personal space thing.
Yeah.
We also have some people who use the gym floor, and I mean the weight room floor, and start doing sprints and like sprint intervals back and forth across the weight room floor.
Sprinting over the benches or jumping
using
over
the benches
stations.
As hurdles. Just things that are really, really unsafe. You would
and
think it would just be common sense
to
not sprint through people lifting a lot of weight with a lot of concentration and pushing their bodies. But apparently this happens some places, and there's usually a fitness room, an exercise room, even like a stretching area where there's nothing in the way, and that anywhere basically.
Outside.
And there's also the treadmills.
You could try
sprinting on one of those. But there's a lot of places to do that sort of thing. Dropping the weights, I feel like sometimes when you're really, really pushing yourself, like once your set is done, you're done.
Yeah.
But try... You know what I mean? Like try and slow the weight down as it comes to the floor so you're not just like dropping hundreds of pounds from 3 feet in the air. It can damage the equipment. It can damage the floor. It could roll away and hit somebody.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes the weights are going to hit the ground kind of heavy. It's just going to happen. But
some people do it intentionally though.
Right. Some people do it as like an ape banging on their chest or something like that. Like, look how much weight I listed. And kind of the same thing with grunting. I am totally a grunter, noise maker when I'm really pushing myself. I don't mean to be. It really is just me really pushing myself really hard, usually at the end of my set. And there's degrees of that that are okay. But then there are some people who are just grunting from rep one.
For the sake of it.
And then there's some people who are grunting in like a really like sexualized way. Have you ever heard those people?
Yeah.
It's like a little bit funny, but inappropriate.
Where people like grunting back and forth to each other like their workout partners, like, come on, and they're going,
oh, I like that. I like that. Knock it off. Be supportive. Spotting one another is a big deal in the gym, and it is perfectly okay to ask somebody for a spot. That's not a strange thing to do. That's totally fine. But when you ask somebody for a spot, you are only having them there to help you in case you need it. They're not there to help you get extra reps. They're not there to do the last two reps for you.
Wait, so do you mean when someone's doing a barbell bench press that you shouldn't be doing bicep curls with their bench to help them up?
No.
Okay.
No. If it's like your workout partner, like your regular workout partner, and you guys are doing something like forced reps, that's one thing, but you don't ask a stranger or, you know, somebody you don't know very well and just have them, you know, just hope they're going to help you through the last couple reps. It's
right.
Not a smart thing to do. You're not really familiar with this person and their habits. And also being a spotter, it's not strange to be asked to be a spotter. If you don't feel comfortable spotting that person, just say no, because once you decide to do it, like you're responsible for this as well.
Mm-hmm.
Have a cue with the person before you even start spotting them so they can tell you if they need your help, and otherwise don't help them. It's really, really important because sometimes people are going for PRs, they're going for records, and you might jump in and help them too soon, and then you just stole their PR. You just took their gains away, and that's going to ruin their day. So try to have like a cue, like Giacomo and I just say nope when I'm doing something and I realize like I can't do it. It's just nope. And then he actually helps me. I think the most important takeaway from that is if you don't feel comfortable spotting somebody, don't.
Yeah, there's no shame in that. It doesn't hurt to ask that person what they're looking for. Like if someone says, I need you to lift that 100-pound dumbbell over my head and hold it there until I'm set in position. If you can't do that, then you should tell them you can't do that.
Right. And know how many reps they're going for beforehand. Otherwise, it's just good to know, to have an idea what they're about to do so that you can help them appropriately.
Wiping down sweaty machines. If you're working out at a station and you're breaking a sweat and your sweat is all over that station, you should be cleaning up after yourself. And that's not only when you're done, but in an instance where you're working in with somebody or they ask to work in with you, it's good to wipe the station or be prepared to wipe the station in between sets.
Yeah, if you've ever walked up to a bench that's just covered in sweat and it's not your sweat, it's really, really gross. And it can, you know, cause spread bacteria and disease and stuff like that. So most gyms have, you know, paper towels or towels and disinfectant, and you can use that. Always wipe down your cardio machines, because if you're cardioing correctly, is that a word? Oh. I just made it up. If you're cardioing correctly, you're sweating. Sweat's probably flying off you. You're probably, like, spitting more than you like to admit. Like, it happens. So wipe off the machines, wipe off the handles. A lot of people don't wipe off the handles of machines, I've noticed. They'll wipe off where they were sitting, but they don't wipe off the handles. Like, hello, that's where all your germs are. They're on your hands. Ugh. This said, I actually don't wipe down very many machines that I use because I don't sweat very often. I almost never sweat. But I always check the bench every single time I get up. And if I even left so much as like a little grease mark from my greasy back, like I'll go get a paper towel and disinfect it and wipe it up. And I always wipe down cardio machines.
Yeah, it's common courtesy, and like you said, it's sanitary.
Yeah. All right, this is Giacomo. We're going to talk about Giacomo now.
What do you mean this is Giacomo? That's not me.
Chalk assholes. Huh? Giacomo's a chalk asshole, everybody.
Explain.
Chalk assholes go into gyms that are not powerlifting gyms. Like, just regular gyms, like the one we go to, and they bring a container of chalk, and they just sprinkle that shit everywhere.
Everywhere.
And chalk is a lot like glitter. Like, once it's down, it's really hard to get back up. And I understand its purpose, and I really like using chalk, but if it's not that type of a gym, you've just created a huge job for the janitor, or whoever has to clean it up later.
Unless you clean up after yourself.
Which Giacomo does. After I made him. You know, it gets on everything. It gets on the plates. It gets on the bar. It gets on the floor. It gets on the machines itself because there's chalk dust that falls. It gets everywhere. So if you're going to use chalk in a gym that's not really like a chalk-friendly gym, just make sure you clean it up as best you possibly can. Now we're going to talk a little bit more about people in the gym. Less about machines and how to actually work out, and more about the etiquette between people. Respect the headphones. If someone has headphones on, don't talk to them. That's an I'm busy, I'm working out, I'm in my zone, no chit-chat signal.
So you mean like tapping on somebody that has headphones on and ask them to take their headphones off and then talking to them is not okay?
It's hard to say. I don't think it's okay, but it happens and I'm used to it at this point, but it's annoying still every single time. But I also understand, you know, a lot of people, you see a lot of these same people every single day you go to the gym, and sometimes it's rude not to say something to them. So I have employed the nod. I just give people the nod when I see them, like a nod and a smile, like, hey, I acknowledge you. I see you every day. But we will carry on with our workouts now.
What about when you're the person that starts their workout with headphones on, goes through the whole workout, and doesn't take them off until they're on their way out the door, and you have somebody else that sees you in the gym all the time but can never speak to you, and they have a question for you?
Well, I mean, that's a pretty extreme scenario.
Happens.
I think. I mean, most people don't like change their clothes in the locker room with their headphones on.
Mm.
I'm sure there are some people that walk in and walk out and never take their headphones off, but
I guess it depends my opinion is it depends what someone is stopping you for. No, I don't like to be bothered, even when someone just genuinely wants to introduce himself or ask me a question. You know, it's a little annoying, but I can understand it. It's when people ask me to take my headphones off so they could just say what's up. You know, that's what annoys me.
Or if you're like getting ready, it's one thing if you're like sitting around moving slowly in between exercises or something, but it's particularly rude when you're like getting ready to do a set, or even worse, in the middle of a set, finishing your set.
Yeah.
Just if someone has their headphones on, just understand that they probably don't want to be interrupted. So only interrupt them if it's really, really important.
Oh, this is an important one. Don't stare. If you're in the gym and you think that you're looking at somebody in a mirror and they can't see you, then, you know, I don't even know what to say. I mean, when you can look at somebody and you can see them, they can see you. Doesn't matter if you're ogling them through a mirror or looking directly at them. It's just not okay.
The gym can be a really creepy place sometimes. I think particularly if you're a woman, it's so common to just get creeped on and stared at, and it can be really, really uncomfortable, especially if you're doing particular exercises that require you to like bend over or something like that. It can be really, really terrible. And Giacomo's put this into perspective for me. Sometimes I think people are being creeps, and I think oftentimes people are being creeps. But he says, you know, maybe they're just impressed because you work out really, really hard and you do impressive stuff. And I suppose that that's possible. But the point is, no one wants to be stared at. Don't be staring at people. And this goes just as much for the teenage guys checking me out as it goes for the teenage guys checking Giacomo out, because he's in really good shape. And, you know, young guys, young girls, even, you know, there's some girls at my gym that are really in shape, and you see the, you know, the newer girls staring at them, and it's just uncomfortable to be, I don't care who you are. It's uncomfortable to be stared at.
Yeah, I mean, a glance is one thing, but a hard stare, you know, for seconds.
Yeah.
That's really, that's
it's
awkward.
Hard in the gym because, you know, there's people everywhere and mirrors everywhere, and you got to look somewhere. Mm-hmm. So sometimes you end up looking at people.
Right.
But there's a difference between like looking in passing. I kind of tried to zone out and just look around without actually locking on anything, because I don't want to make anybody uncomfortable. Sometimes I'll stare at Giacomo. I'll stare at him so creepy-like from, like, all the way across the room. But that's deliberately creepy. But, you know, just be aware of where you're looking. Maybe some people don't realize that they're staring. Maybe some people are just zoned out and you happen to be in their way.
Mm-hmm.
But try not to stare at people. And Giacomo's right. If you're looking at somebody and you think that there's, like, a mirror matrix and they can't see you looking at them, you're probably wrong. Cell phones in the gym. So I have mixed feelings about this one, and I'll tell you why. I use my cell phone to record my workouts. It's the easiest way for me to record my workouts as far as my sets and reps and how much weight I used, and I'm already carrying my phone around because that also has all of my music on it, and that's what I'm listening to. So I have my phone on me anyway. This means I don't have to carry around a pen and paper. So a lot of times, I assume people think that I'm texting, because I'm looking down at my phone, but I'm really just putting in my last set,
mm-hmm.
basically. So I try not to look at other people and assume that they're like playing around on Facebook at the gym, because they very well could be doing the same thing. Things that are not okay with cell phones. One, sitting around on Facebook. Like, that's not the time to be chatting with people. It's not the time to be playing on social media. You're there to work out. But what, you know, you can't know whether or not somebody's actually doing that or not, was my point. Talking on the phone in the gym.
The worst. I've seen people literally doing a bench press with the phone in their ear talking to somebody. I mean, one, they're going to mess themselves up, and two, they're a distraction to everyone around them.
Well, that's the thing, is it's very distracting, because usually, typically, people talking on their cell phones are loud. They're louder than, because they have to talk over all the gym sounds.
Mm-hmm.
So they're pretty loud. They're talking about, you know, God knows what. It's just distracting. It's distracting to everybody. I've had instances where I am waiting on a very important phone call while I'm in the gym. And if that person calls, I'll step off into a hallway or something, like a non-lifting area, to take the phone call. And I think if you have to take a call, that's what you should do. Or, you know, go step elsewhere and take the call.
I actually had somebody once asked to work in on the same station that I was using, and they went to go jump in between sets, and they sat down on the station and started texting before they did their set. My mind was just blown. You know, I mean, I don't even understand how someone could do that.
When we say, like, a lot of these things should be common sense, they should be common sense, but in practice, some of the stuff you see is just amazing. And when you, you know, if you're a busy person trying to squeeze your workout in, like, every little thing like this gets to you. And a lot of times people that are, you know, newer, they just don't know. So that's why we're talking about this. One, because it's always fun to rant about your pet peeves. But two, because, it's, you know, they're good things to know. And sometimes people just haven't thought of some of these things.
The form police. Form police are other gym goers that are walking around and they're noticing someone's technique. And they go there and literally critique that person on how they perform that exercise. Sometimes even mid-set.
Just offering unsolicited advice to people. It's really, really rude, I think. And I'm a coach. I see people in the gym doing things that are maybe not the safest all the time. But unless that person comes up and asks me for help, I would never walk up to a person and start telling them what they just did wrong. It, you know, maybe that person's new. Maybe they're coming in there to learn how to do something and they're really, really nervous and feeling like feeling stupid and feeling like everybody's watching them. And then somebody comes up and tells them that they did it wrong. Plus, who are you to tell somebody they're doing something wrong? I once had a trainer come up to me in a New York sports club to tell me I was doing my bicep curls wrong because I was curling a straight bar, but I was pulling my elbows backwards as I did them. And he came up to try to tell me, oh, that's not how you do that's not how you do bicep curls. And I was like, drag curls.
Yep.
It was just a different exercise. It was deliberate. And sometimes that's what's happening. You know, you see somebody maybe doing a half squat or something like that. Maybe they're just working on the top half of their squat. You don't know. You have no idea what people are working on. So keep your opinions about other people's form to yourself unless they specifically ask you for it. The water fountain. This really isn't that much of a problem for me anymore because I just carry a gallon jug to the gym. But usually gyms only have a couple water fountains, you know, connected to the wall. And sometimes people are filling up their big water bottles in these little water fountains and a line starts to form behind them. If you're filling up a giant bottle with water and there's a line behind you, just let them get a drink. Just let them get a drink and then go back to filling up your water bottle. Otherwise, you're going to be standing there for like 2 minutes and you're going to have a parade behind you.
This is one of my favorites. The locker room etiquette. There are so many no's that come into play in the locker room that happen almost every single time.
So the first thing to think about in the locker room is just being as hygienic as you possibly can. Like, usually it's people coming in and changing to start working out, or really sweaty people coming in and changing back or showering, or there's a lot of moisture and bacteria happening in a locker room. There's usually bathrooms in there. Like, there's just a lot going on in the locker room. So try to keep it clean as much as you can. If you have to sit down on a bench, you know, while you're changing or something, put a towel under you. Think about it. I've seen people just put their bare selves down on benches in the locker room, and that's horrifying for everybody. That's not good for anybody. So, you know, wash your hands as much as, you know, when you, after you go to the bathroom, before you start working out, after you work out. Be as hygienic as you can. Something that a lot of people don't think about is the amount of perfume or cologne that they wear to the gym.
And usually when you're putting on perfume or cologne, you're doing it in the locker room. So when people are just spraying that stuff like crazy in a small place, it can be really offensive.
Yeah, it can be really, really strong. And a lot of people are allergic to fragrances. And, you know, some like the fragrance in your deodorant, that's one thing, which also wear deodorant. But the fragrances in your deodorant are one thing, but perfumes and colognes are really, really strong. not just in the locker room, but on the gym floor too. If you're breathing heavy trying to get through a sprint or a heavy set or something, and some dude sits down next to you and he just reeks to high heaven of cologne, that's going to be hard to breathe next to. And it happens. So just be aware of that.
Speaking about people being sweaty and whatnot, another pet peeve of mine are people who go right past the showers and right into the steam room right after their workout.
Oh, interesting.
And that steam room stinks. It is so bad, depending on everyone's level of sweat. Like in the dead of the summer, unless they clean that thing out five times a day, you have people that are just not showering. They go in, they're sweaty, and they're just spreading their sweat throughout the steam room, making it virtually unusable.
That's disgusting.
It's gross.
Wow. I avoid steam rooms like the plague because I think they're literally just breeding grounds for grossness. So it's just warm and wet.
You know, if they're maintained well.
No, I don't even believe it. I don't believe it. I just think they're gross.
And another thing that bothers me in the locker room are people who take showers, but they don't bring a towel. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, guy, if you're going to take a shower, then you need to be able to dry yourself off afterwards with a towel.
You can't just shake around like a wet dog.
Where the hand dryer is? No. No, you can't. Well, you can't dry your body with a hand dryer.
That's another one of our points is, use the hand dryer in the locker room appropriately.
For your hands, not for your hands,
or,
crown
you know,
jewels.
The blow dryer in the girls' locker room. That's for the hair on your head.
What else do they dry in the locker room?
Everything. Oh. Everything. I've seen people with their foot propped up on the counter.
So what happens?
I've seen
in the
women with their feet
too?
Propped up on the locker on the counter, oh, shaving their legs. I mean, you see it all in the locker room, and I don't have any problem with the human body whatsoever. There's nothing shameful about it, but again, back to the hygiene. Like, you don't put a blow dryer on your nether regions that some other person is about to put on their head.
Yeah.
That's just common sense. But even though I'm perfectly comfortable with other people's naked bodies, doesn't mean that everybody is. And maybe that's more their problem than yours. I agree with that to some degree. But there's something to be said about being a little bit discreet. Like, you don't have to let it all hang out. It can make some people uncomfortable. And again, that's really their problem. But just to be polite, the same way I wouldn't just start swearing like crazy in front of a family with small children is the same way that I wouldn't just put my genitalia out on display for somebody who it made uncomfortable.
I mean, it's one thing also when you're getting dressed and undressed, but I mean, it's, you know, it's not a bathhouse. You're not there to socialize naked for like 20 minutes talking to your friends using up the whole bench.
Yeah, it's one thing to be changing and showering and, you know, you expect nudity in a locker room, but there's some people who just want to hang out and be naked in the locker room.
Take it a little bit too far.
Yeah, and another point that I want to make that I don't think many people think about, because I see this constantly, is cell phones in the locker room.
Mm.
In this day and age, cell phone in the locker room, it's just so easy to just be snapping pictures or videos and nobody would know. Like, mm-hmm. There's apps and crap for that.
That just take pictures without you even
using
your
phone. That just take pictures without you even...
Why do we know that?
Philip DeFranco. That's why we know that.
Safe.
You know, so it's just something you don't want to make other people feel like, oh, maybe this person, you know, you just don't want to make other people uncomfortable. And if you see somebody else with a cell phone, like, out in the locker room, be aware of what they're doing with it, or your naked ass could end up on the internet, is what mm-hmm. I'm saying here. I think we pretty much touched on everything that we thought of for gym etiquette. If you guys have any other gym etiquette tips that you would like to share with us, feel free to send them to us on Facebook or Instagram or Twitter.
Or if you know of any offenders or repeat offenders and you want to share those stories, please let us know. We'd love to hear them. This week's product review is a little bit different
than what we usually do.
Yeah. I want to talk about this beautiful thing that we call mail order donuts. You go online and you check out with donuts, and then said donuts arrive at your doorstep fresh about 4 or 5 days later.
Were you okay with that when I ordered donuts, Danny?
I was really surprised. So some of you know I'm on prep for our competition in June already. Giacomo is not yet because he's a guy and he's leaner and he's a jerk. So I was very surprised when nearly a dozen donuts arrived at our door while I was like having a day where I was particularly hungry. So needless to say, I was unhappy. But
until
Giacomo actually did a good job picking these donuts out. They are Larson's Donuts. Larson is the name of the bakery. They're in Racine, Wisconsin. And Racine. We ordered them online at veganessentials.com. So most of you know veganessentials.com. It's, you know, a store full of vegan everything. Almost anything you could think of, a vegan version, Vegan Essentials has it. And they ship it all around the world, I believe.
From shoes to meatless alternatives to candy to everything imaginable, basically.
So Giacomo and I had a night where we just started perusing through Vegan Essentials and just adding things to our cart. And Giacomo snuck these in there without me knowing. Hey. They were vegan frosted ring donuts.
And they're good.
They come unfrosted, 11 of them in a box with a side of icing. And the macros on the donuts themselves are 2.5 grams of fat, 20 grams of carbs, and 3 grams of protein.
Not bad.
I mean, really not bad for a donut.
It's pretty easy to fit that into just about any meal program if you're smart about it.
Granted, it's a completely plain donut. There's no sprinkles, no nothing on it. But you can put what you want on it. You could put, we use a low sugar jam. You could put that on it and make it like a jelly donut. You could use the icing that it comes with sparingly because it's very, very sweet and it would still be very good. You could
sprinkle cinnamon or cocoa powder on it or something.
Powder it with cinnamon and stevia and make a
stevia.
You know, so there are a lot of options with this, and I actually found a way to work two of these donuts into one of my meals for one of my days so far.
And you're on contest prep.
And I'm on contest prep, so that's pretty impressive. And they were really, really good. I was very surprised.
Macro-friendly donuts, veganessentials.com. And they have actually several different options. You can get a sampler pack, Bavarian cream, jelly, unfrosted, whatnot.
In case cinnamon you want to get a little more adventurous. Cinnamon roll with cinnamon buttercream. Like, I didn't ever need to know that that existed. Yeah. So I know that, you know, people may think that we just cover specific health foods and supplements and weightlifting stuff, but food is fuel. All kinds of food is fuel. And timed properly, yes, a vegan donut can help you, you know, hit PRs in the gym that day. Just pay attention to your calories, your macronutrient goals, meal timing a little bit around your workouts. And even in a situation where you are, you know, dieting like I am right now, you can find ways to fit in some foods that you love. And these Larson's Vegan Frosted Ring Donuts from veganessentials.com were a really great example. I highly recommend them. Moving on to our question segment today. This is not one question from a specific person. These are a couple of questions that are related that we get all the time through our website. So we figured it would be best to go over the answers. The question that we get through our website all the time, it's two questions actually. What is the best protein to get lean? And then another question is, what is the best protein to build muscle?
And the answer is that there is no one protein that is better than another for getting lean or for building muscle. Those are both achieved through, you know, proper meal programming over time to fuel your exercise and recovery. You know, is one protein formula better than the other? Maybe a little bit, you know, depending on the amino acid profile. Some proteins can have more of the leucine, isoleucine, and valine, the branched chain amino acids, and glutamine, which are amino acids that are good for anabolic response and supporting your lean body mass, basically. However, not by much, really. I generally recommend that people find the protein formula that they can get down and enjoy, actually. And and find one based on what they're wanting to use it for. So say they want a protein to bake with, then get maybe a brown rice protein. Say they want a protein that mixes up into a smoothie a little more, you know, thickens it up a little bit, you know, maybe get a pea protein.
But no, there's no particular protein that's better for getting lean or getting muscular.
No.
No. The ways to get lean, basically your protein goals are going to stay pretty close. Whether you're trying to get lean or whether you're trying to build muscle, there's not going to be a huge variance in between the two. The main thing is actually going to be the amount of fat and carbohydrates that you're eating and the kind of training that you're doing. Those are going to be the most determining factors between whether you get lean or whether you build muscle. Whichever protein formula you choose is fine. There's so many different vegan protein powders out there now. There's lots of different vegan protein foods. There's nothing about, you know, plant fusion protein powder that is superior to tofu. You know, protein is protein is protein. So whichever protein you choose to have is fine. It's actually everything else that's going to determine how lean you get or if you get muscular. Some protein formulas that we really love are plant fusion, raw fusion, Sun Warrior, Vega Protein, Warrior Food, Vegan Proteins Plus, which no, we don't own that company. We just happen to have similar names. There's so many great protein powders on the market now. And whichever one you choose is totally fine. And like Giacomo said, you should pick it based on your preferences. And that's really it. All right, everybody. Thank you so much for tuning in to our 8th episode of Vegan Proteins Muscles by Brussels Radio. If you would like to get in touch with us at all with any questions or comments or anything like that, you can find us at veganproteins.com, and we are also on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. My name is Danny.
And I'm Giacomo.
And we will talk to you guys in 2 weeks.
Till then.